Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Wednesday edition. Not in the studio with me remotely, but feels like they're here. We've got Anya in New York.
Hi, Bubba.
What up, Anya? And we got Noah in Arizona, which is also a city. Thank you, Brian, in Arizona.
Really tiny one.
Yeah. Did you look into it?
I did. It's like on the side of a highway or something.
Oh, one of the ones that just has a rest stop or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like a population of five.
Right. And then Brian Frangi is visiting us again from Los Angeles. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Have you ever heard of Zizix?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with them.
Okay.
I don't have them, but I want them so bad. Wait, those are the shoes. Wait, they're shoes, right?
No. Zizix is a roadside town. If you're driving ever from LA,
I was
into...
thinking of Kizix. Wait, what are Zizix?
Zizix, it's if you're driving from LA to, I think, Las Vegas. I think it's in between LA and Las Vegas. You'll see green sign for a town called Zizix. It's in the middle of nowhere, and
spell
it's spelled. It's spelled, I might get this wrong, but it's spelled Z-Y-X-X-Y-X-X or something.
Yes, I remember. That does, one time I sat on my keyboard and that came up. A cat walked across a keyboard and that's how they named that town. Okay, Zizix.
Well, how do they name that town? That's what I thought when I was
Did you
driving.
Google it as you were driving?
I Googled it. Well, no, I asked my fiance or wife or whatever to Google it. And we discovered that the person who named Zizix had a vendetta against the government and decided to name the town Zizix just to mess with the people who have to write that into the register.
Oh, man. Good job, dude. I mean, that would be a fun break in my day if I was just writing down towns all day. And then I'm like, what is this one? And that would actually wake me up. I think that's a good thing to do. Z-Y-X-X.
Yeah.
Y-X?
Z-Z top.
Z-Z-Y-Z-X.
Z-Z-Y-Z-Z-X.
Z-Z-Y-Z-X. It was formerly known as Soda Springs. And the guy invented this, retreat where you could go there and discover yourself and become healthy. And then it turned out to be a scam. And so then the government came after him. And then eventually to get a vendetta against them, he named it Zizix.
Oh, man. He showed them.
Yeah.
That's a creative, angry man.
Anya, that sounds like a documentary you would want to watch about Soda Springs and whatever culty like type self-help. Yeah, I haven't seen Wild Wild Country, but I hear that's...
You would love it. It's so well done.
That's the next doc that everyone was into years ago that I need to get into, and I'll be obsessed with it for a week, and no one will want to talk to me about it, because they're like, yeah, well, we all talked about this already. Mm-hmm. Someone used to have a stand-up joke like that, of like, do you ever see a movie that everyone's already seen? And you're like, can't stop talking about, like, I'll get that way with, like, A Few Good Men. I'm like, have you guys seen this movie? And people are like, yeah, 1985.
It's kind of like you with Succession. It's cool. I like it because you're making me rewatch it. Like, I'll get back into Wild Wild Country.
Oh, my God. I've talked to so many people about Succession that I've actually, yesterday I saw my boyfriend's brother, Tim Convy, Brian Frangie's former roommate. And I asked him, I was like, are you into Succession? He goes, you already asked me this. I'm like, I've already come around. He's like, no. And I'm like, damn it. He's like, I know, I gotta be. And I'm like, so I'm already like making the rounds through everyone. It's starting a new season this Sunday. It's very exciting. But the funny thing about you asking me about Zizix is that I literally have an app or like a note on my phone of like podcast topics, right? And one of them is the shoes. I think I wrote in Zizix. I think I may have erased it. But for a while, I had written on here Zizix because I'm obsessed with these shoes that keep getting marketed to me on Instagram where you don't have to tie them. They're gym shoes, but you just slip your feet into them. Have you seen these?
No, I'm going to
Google
it.
They're so cute. Zizix. I think it's
XX.
Yeah, I don't. Someone was trying to fuck with the people that would have to. Yeah, there was another vendetta. But they're Kizix. Kizix. Is it KISIKS or something like that? But you don't have to tie them. And it's just all the Instagram videos are always like women holding babies and like just being like, I've got too much going on. And they just slip their foot into it. And it's like a dream. And that's why I keep all of my shoes untied so that I can just slip. Mine are all very, all my shoes are loose because I like them to all be like loafers that I can just put my foot into. But I've been craving some Kizix. I don't know why I haven't bought them yet, but I wonder if any of our besties have them and can report how great they are, because tying your shoes is annoying and
it's overrated. Yeah,
and a lot of times I'll jam my foot into a shoe and then the tongue just gets all like fucking crumpled up, and then I'll just wear it like that because I'm too lazy to even bend over and pull that tongue out. So Kizix are really my speed. A couple other things I have written down because I have this note up is that poomf. And I want to just talk about what poomf is, because it's a word that everyone needs to know. So you have a dog, Brian, right? What's your dog's name again?
Jack. Goldie?
Jack. Okay. So Jack is such a cute little dog, and I bet it could have a poomf. And I know that your dog, Willa, can have a poomf. I even think cats can have poomfs. So a poomf is something on an animal, most likely a canine animal, where its upper lip gets kind of like... it's maybe when it has dry teeth and its upper lip gets kind of like stuck.
It has veneers.
yeah. It gets stuck on the almost the jaw, like the gum line, because it's so dry, and it poofs up. So fur like kind of raise up, and it kind of just makes it look a little stupid, but it also looks like, oh, it's got a poof. Like dogs get them all the time. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brian? Has your dog ever gotten a poof?
I mean, I'm going to definitely look out for it, but I can't say.
You can force it. You just dry off their teeth and then you raise up their lip and have it get stuck, and it'll just be like, oh, little poof. It's so satisfying because they look so cute. Yes.
Like Elvis looked for a dog.
Elvis had a poof.
Matt and I spent 7 minutes once trying to get Willa to have a poof.
You just got
to
dry off their
teeth. And we did succeed. Yeah, we just like kept tucking it. She was like, what in the Lord's name is going on? We were just, it's just light abuse.
It's animal abuse. Just a little tickle of abuse. Speaking of animals, yesterday I was in a funk. I was just woke up on the wrong side of my uterus and was just hormonally imbalanced in such a bad mood. I went to my voice lesson, which I go to twice a week, and I literally drove I have to drive a half hour out there. And I just went and we did not sing at all. I just was like, I'm depressed. And then he like talked to me about it the whole time. Like, it's like therapy. I really feel bad for this guy because he's become like my therapist. And he's like, this is happening to you way too often. I'm like, I know. He's like, do you see someone? I'm like, yes. And it was just a bad day. You know, one of those days.
Thank God I didn't have to pod.
Like, yes, my vocal coach.
Yeah, you.
Twice a week.
Michael Rocchio.
Can we do three?
Yeah, shout out to Michael Rocchio. But I just did actually an interview for STL Magazine that's going to come out in like June. But my buddy Nick, who is a journalist there, now we're friends through this process. He's like followed me around. He was at our show, Anya, in St. Louis. Remember the guy that was interviewing me backstage?
Oh, yeah.
Lovely guy,
we,
Nick.
We kept kicking him out of the green
yeah,
room.
I'd be like, okay, I have to like, you know, try on a different bra. So you need to leave again and let, he can come back in. He's a nice guy. But we were just, we just met up at 8 o'clock at Starbucks around the corner to extend the, to talk more about follow up 2 months later for this interview. They're doing like an in-depth thing. It's going to be like a big, big thing. But he was talking to me about stuff and I was like, and I see this voice teacher and all I do is like, it's like therapy. And he goes, and I go, he's all the way out in Chesterfield. And he goes, is it Michael Rocchio? And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, I see Michael Rocchio. I was like, oh my God. And I was so excited to talk to someone else that knows this amazing man who has helped me so much. Singing wise, not so much. But I've learned a lot of life lessons and stories. No, singing wise, he's given me a lot of confidence, which if you learned anything from the podcast yesterday, based on my experience at the Mark Twain Prize for Adam Sandler, confidence is kind of all you need, and the belief that hard work makes it begets talent. If you know that if you know that you can do anything, you just have to work hard. That's all you need, and you can be successful. But anyway, so I was meeting up with him. Oh yeah, I was really down yesterday, and I just couldn't get out of it all day. And I tried so many things. I went for a run. I went, took a walk. I took a 3-hour nap in the middle of the day, even though I didn't need it. Things that were both not helpful and helpful. I shared a lot on our girls chat of like really dark stuff. I went to that voice lesson. I tried to get out and do stuff. Wasn't going away. And then I saw some story of this burn victim. I love burn victims. I don't know if you guys know this. Yesterday, Michael Rocchio, by the way, was like, what do you like? Like, what are things that bring you joy? And I go, Taylor Swift. And he goes, okay, other than that. And I go, documentaries about plane crashes. He was like, I saw that one. It was very good. I was like, books about Columbine. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just into weird stuff. I wish I liked things that other girls like linens, but I can't. And then my friends were like, why do you want to like linens? And I said, okay, here's why I want to like linens. When like a girl likes a linen and a thread count likes to like feel linen, it's not that I want to like linens. If you are able to find joy out of like a nice piece of like fabric and just like, you know, touch it and go like, this is so beautiful, and look at the fringe around it and go like, I love this tablecloth or whatever the fuck it is, that means your life is pretty good. That means that like things, you have a lot of space for, and you are present and you're able to somatically take in the world and feel it on a like a molecular level. Like you can, it just, that's not that I want to like linens. I want to be able to stop and smell the roses and touch the linens. So it's more about that. So I was telling him that I liked all these dark things. And I want to add it to the list, burn victims. I like burn victims. I like reading about them. I like watching them on my Instagram, because my biggest fear is losing my looks, you know, gradually, which we, I think most women in the Western world and in most Eastern worlds as well are worried about aging, and men as well. I'll throw you guys into this too. We're all worried about aging. Makes us feel less relevant. Makes us feel like we're closer to death. People don't want to fuck us. People aren't as nice to us. It's just like the world gets kind of smaller, and we're all trying to grasp onto it, because we're constantly filled with images of like fighting wrinkles and fighting aging, age defying serums. Like everything is age defying. Burn victims instantly go from being hot to unfuckable, and not unfuckable in the sense that like they can't still be loved and people can't have sex with them and be attracted to them. Of course they can. But you go from being really good looking and a normal person to being someone that like makes people gasp sometimes when they see you, because your face is definitely disfigured. There's no doubt about it. That's not me making a judgment on the person. It's just true. And that's fascinating to me. Does that not spark your guys' interest at all to see people who have been horribly disfigured or had something like catastrophic happen to them, and yet they still are like talking about their day, like they just share how they go about their normal day? Does that interest you guys at all?
I can understand how you'd be inspired by their you know, ability to move on and try to live life to the fullest despite their disfigurement.
Yes.
It's not inspired.
There's this man in my town where I live, and he has elephantitis of his face. So he has like a completely disfigured face and like a lot of flesh hanging off his face. Like,
yes,
if
a whole nother head.
Yeah. And it's very, it's like if you didn't know, you'd be like, like he looks like he's wearing the scariest mask ever.
Yeah.
And he's very popular in town. He's very kind. Like, I walk by him a lot. He's always nice. Everybody knows him. And the other day he was on the corner. Yesterday I was walking Willa, and he just goes, "What a beautiful creature. What a beautiful dog." Aww. I was like, "Thank you." And I was just thinking, that's an interesting comment from a man
Someone
with elephantitis.
Not
yeah.
Aesthetic.
Did they have to call it elephantitis? I feel like
I don't even
out of
know
all the names.
Honestly. It was either that or Zizzix.
Honestly, it's you're so right, Brian. Like, they're already like they couldn't come up with anything. It's like Seinfeld's joke about rhinoplasties. Like, that's it's like you couldn't come up with anything. You got to compare these poor people who already feel insecure about their giant nose, rhinoplasty.
Maybe, it's called elephantiasis. Maybe it's outdated. Maybe it's like,
no, yeah,
you like don't the say R it word. Anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm looking at pictures online.
No, it's interesting to me because I like watching less about inspiration. Well, yeah, I think it's that because I go, man, I wake up some days and my face feels a little bit like swollen, or I, you know, I've talked about it extensively on here, just fearing facial changes, you know, that we all do. That's why I get Botox, I get filler, I do all these things trying to fight it. And then you see someone who went from being a really attractive woman to overnight looking in a way that makes kids go like, "Mommy, what's wrong with her?" I mean, that is like to live through that. And it is inspiring, but like, it's fascinating to me. It's just the same way that I don't know what it is, but anyway, so last night, Michael Rocchio kept like prodding at me, being like, "What are you into? Like, stop, do this whole thing." I didn't want to start crying, so I didn't really want to talk about my feelings. So I was kind of being obstinate, like, of just, is that a word, of being like, I like is plane crashes. I'm a dumb person. I'm dark. Like, I was just kind of just being like, I don't want to talk about my feelings. I don't want to get at the root of this. And because I didn't want to cry, because his wife is like in the next room and I didn't want her to like hear me crying. She's a singer as well. She would have been like, "Well, this girl just wastes our time." And so I was just trying to not cry. And then finally I was like, you know what? Animals. I really like animals. That is something that interests me and I love. So last night, I also saw this burn victim, that this Australian runner girl who was doing a long run and she got caught in a brush fire and completely burned her whole face. I don't remember her name, but she's very, very famous in Australia and so inspiring. And she was talking about how she doesn't start her morning by just like jumping on her phone. And there's a lot of things like this online. And this has nothing to do with her being a burn victim. It was just a part of what I was saying. But she was just talking about, like, I just get a book. I go out and I don't go to my phone right away. I just try to like surround myself with things that make me feel good in the morning, because that all is coming later. Why do I just have to do it right away and have it hijack my day? But last night I kind of employed that. I was like, get off my phone. What can I watch? I was thinking maybe I'll watch The Bachelor with Anya, because she was watching that. And I do, like, Anya and I like to watch things together and text each other during it. We watched the show Perfect Match on Netflix. That is truly one of the most garbage reality shows I've ever seen. And I'm the host of F Boy Island. I can tell you, like, there, I've hosted shows that have crazy premises that don't really make sense and, you know, are just loose and just funny. And this one is also one of those, but it's not good. And I don't like it. But I was almost going to put that on or something. And then I was like, I should watch something with animals in it. And usually animal stuff is so sad, but there's this really great documentary that just won an Academy Award on Netflix called The Elephant Whisperer. And it made me feel so fucking good to see these Indian people caring for these baby elephants. And the story of how these elephants get abandoned is sad, but it's really heartwarming. It's only 40 minutes long. And I swear to God, it makes you feel so good about yourself and about the world. And it makes you cry. And it's like, it just was like the best thing for my soul. So I just have to remember to maybe put on more animal like documentary things, but
good
not
job.
There's Steve not enough pumps. Of them. there's not enough happy animal documentaries.
No, that's they're true. All sad because there's always like they'll walk you through the mating rituals and like the babies are born and then the fires come and then there's like they show babies just being like looking for their mom and then I'm like fuck I can't deal with this. Because guess what, there's no good climate news. You're not going to watch any documentary that's really telling you how it is, and you're going to be uplifted. It's all grim. The world is, it's too late by 2030 to change anything. I don't know if you heard that report yesterday, but we'll talk about this and more after we get back from the break.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So did you guys hear, though, that by 2030, it's over? Like, that's the date?
Yeah, what's the official statement?
That if we don't make massive changes right now by 2030, it's too late and that's it. But I feel like we've been hearing this a while, and that's why no one gives a fuck anymore when it's really being said. Brian?
Yeah, I remember they say 2030 that a lot. In 2010. Yeah.
Or do you remember Y2K cries. When, like, the machines were supposed to turn against us?
Yes, but this is based on,
this
like,
is real.
like atmosphere and like the polar ice caps melting faster. Like there's literally never any good news about the climate. There's never of like, it's not melting as fast as we thought it was. Oh, this, you know, the droughts are actually not as bad as we thought they would be. It's always way worse. So I don't know.
I'm with Noah on this one. I think climate change is like Y2K. I think when 2030 comes, we're all going to be waiting for the bomb to drop and nothing's going to happen. And we're like, why did we save water at all?
Do you think that we'll have like compounds or live slightly differently or like have SPF 78 or like how are we going to survive?
I don't think most places will be able to go outside. By 2050, you're not going to be able to go outside in a lot of the planet anymore. Or you can, but you'll have to like run really quick between buildings because it's just going to be too hot. I mean, it's already too hot in summers for things to happen. They had to have the World Cup in the winter, you know?
We are adaptable. Maybe we'll just spend most of our days indoors with sun lamps like Kirsten.
Yeah, that's what'll happen. Yeah, our friend Kirsten is always in the morning. She's like, hi, guys, on the girls' chat. I'm just making some oatmeal and just hanging out in front of my sun lamp. What does she call it? It's like she always does the brand name for things.
Sun lamp. I don't know. From my T24.
Yeah, I think that we'll. I don't think we're all going to perish on January 1st, 2030, but that is the date where don't even try anymore.
It's irreversible.
There's no turning back. There's no saving this. I feel like there's a lot of that catastrophizing that comes out too frequently, like you're saying. Like it's every couple of months, there's like, okay, we've now passed this threshold where there's no turning back. And then 2 months later, like, and now we've really passed the threshold. You know?
Yes.
It's like, how many thresholds are there? Maybe we should just.
But then a child invents a recycling center that like makes all of this, you know, old wine bottles into canoes or something. I don't know. I feel like there's always some kids.
There is always something like there's a new bug that eats plastic bottles and you're like, oh, this bug will save us. Or like there. I do believe that there is technology out there that will bail us out in little ways, but it's just going to make it so we're not going to be able to like live. Once the damage is done, like if you pour ink on a carpet, you can like sop it up, but you're never going to get that stain out. It's done. Like you can't go back. So like, yeah, there'll be things that we can do to make it look like a little bit more livable. But, you know, if we don't figure this out, it's not going to be, the planet won't be that inhabitable. Did you guys know that Mars is like millions of miles away? The other day I saw a picture of Earth from Mars and it said it was like, Noah, will you look up how far Mars is? Because we've landed on Mars with a rover, correct? How the fuck did anything travel millions of miles? 100 million miles or something. It's like 126 million miles.
Maybe it's decades.
127.23 million miles.
How did I mean, that's pretty impressive.
How, Nikki?
That is so, I was off by 1.2 million. How many? That is so long to travel. Did we send that thing off in 1822 and then it finally landed like this year? How did we get a rover? That blew my mind. I would have guessed thousands of miles. Hundreds of millions of miles? Does that blow your guys' mind at all?
It's too large of a number to comprehend.
Right.
It's just very long.
Yeah. That's Do you know that a million seconds is something like 12 days? And a billion seconds is 37 years.
Oh,
do you know that
God.
Difference? Isn't
Your
that fucked
envy
up?
For women who like linens is equal to my envy for you remembering these numbers.
Well, I'm probably off by that, but I know I committed that one to memory like you would lyrics to a song that you wanted to sing. I'm not kidding you, because that was one that I go, I never remember this one. It's so interesting. So I worked hard to remember that, and I don't know that I did.
That is so cool. What is 9 times 7?
That's the only one I can't
remember. The number you said.
I think it's if I'm gonna go off the dome, I'm gonna say it's 63, but I always think it's 56.
Okay, tell me the thing I want to know again.
My collar was all fucked up. What? Do you want to memorize it? Okay.
Yes.
A million seconds is 12 days. I think it's something like that.
It's 11 days.
12 days. 11 days. Okay, ready? A million seconds is 11 days, right? Okay. A billion seconds is 37 years, I believe.
What?
Could be 32. Those two numbers are swirling in my head. So that's the difference when someone says they have $1 billion. Just, it's not even close to a million. That's the difference between an 11-day-old baby and a 37-year-old man. That wow. is the difference. So it's like, there's no, don't even think that 11? You can ever make $1 billion.
Sorry, 1 million seconds is 11 days.
Okay. A billion seconds is 37 years.
32 years.
No. 32 years.
Or 31.
Okay, that's a fascinating little factoid, right?
Yeah.
It does put it in comparison.
You know how you have that, or you've seen that calendar with the how many weeks you have left in your life?
Oh, fuck that calendar. Get it? Don't even bring it up. That fucking thing bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what he's talking about?
No. It tells you how much of life you have left?
No. It's a poster of dots, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. You showed it to me.
Yes. This is on my list of things that I like. Climate change disaster, burn victims, and how many weeks you have to live. It is a plot, a graph almost, of like dots just across, you know, and then it's probably like 12 across and then 50 down. And then it's all filled in. So it's like a dot for every... Oh, no, it's 52 across, 50 down, right? So it's almost like a square. 52 meaning each week of a year. 50 meaning like you probably have 50 years to live if you're like... Or whatever it is. No, sorry. Let's say we all live to be 80. So it's 80 on one axis, 52 on the other, right? So that shows a dot for every week of your life. And then it says like, if you're 30 something, this is how many dots you are. This is on the dot. And you can go week by week and you just see how many dots you have left. And it ain't a lot. And it's like, I can't believe those are weeks. Those aren't years. Those are fucking weeks. And it is depressing because you look at the scope of your life and you're like, it comes down to these dots and I'm so many dots in.
That reminds me, I was watching Bobby Kelly on some interview. And he was saying how, like, something that really put life in perspective for him was he thought how many summers he had left. Aww. And, like, the number was dwindling. It's like, I only have, like, 20 more summers left.
Yeah, no, it's sad.
Yeah.
I have one of those posters, except it's one dot is a billion seconds. So it's only two dots. And the first dot's filled in. I only have one dot left.
Oh my God. You only have a billion seconds of life left.
You have 64 years left.
Whoa. That's weird to think that you have like a billion seconds left to live.
One dot.
And now it's less than a billion because we've just started into it. Oh my God. Yeah. It's and you're not even guaranteed that, you know?
No, that's a scary part.
Anything could happen.
That's why I hate stuff like that. That's why I hate whenever someone posts on like when some tragedy happens and then someone always guaranteed. When there's something horrifically tragic that happens, someone will always comment like that just goes to show you that life is precious and every day counts. You never know how much time you have left. And it's like, that's not a good way to think. Like if you go through life thinking like this might be my last moment on earth, I have to make the most of it. You'll insane.
You'll live like a squirrel.
Yeah.
It's always like, true.
You're like making phone calls to people you don't really want to make. You're like, I'll call my mom. Fine.
Yeah. But I think it is a good reminder to be like, what would I do today if this were the, I mean, I don't think we really need to run through that because people are like, if this was the last day of your life, what would you do? I'd be like, cry the whole day. Like,
yes.
Just be so sad. So, yeah, I mean, but it does, I gotta believe there's something else because this can't be it. You can't just say goodbye forever to think. It's just too much. I can't handle it.
I got from mushrooms. The one time I did mushrooms in my life and tripped balls. I left my body. I went up into the stratosphere. Or what's past the atmosphere, you guys know,
sure.
Who have traveled a billion seconds.
The Kysosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just knew, I will exist after I die because whatever I am now is not in the body of Anya. It is it's like consciousness, but it's me.
Stay with you? Do you really believe that?
Yeah, I really believe that. Like it
was. So you recommend tripping mushrooms because this is what people always say after they do mushrooms is like they are okay with, they're a little bit more okay with death.
Yeah, I'm the only person I know who never needs to do mushrooms again. Like, it was a terrifying night. I didn't have a great time, but the gift of that experience is invaluable, and I'm so glad I did it because I do not believe that when you die, you're just done and, like, your life gets snuffed out.
This is just like every other person who talks about this experience. You can't make me understand what you know now. There's nothing you can say that will adequately make me get it without having that experience. Like talking to people who have done ayahuasca, mushrooms, LSD, it just doesn't, there's no way to communicate it. It sucks. Have you done that stuff, Brian?
No, I have not. And I do envy that feeling very much so. And it's the same way I view about really religious people where it's like, I envy you because you have this whole layer of anxiety that's been lifted because you have faith that there's something else after and that there's all a purpose and a plan. And I'm living in this universe that it's just random chaos. And I feel like when it's over, it's over. And that's a horrible place to be.
You got to watch Tyler Henry on Netflix. This kid who talks to ghosts. That made me believe that there's something else going on. Right. So, I'm not kidding you. It'll get you there.
You can take his word for it. Like, you can take my word for it about mushrooms, can't you? Because you watched Tyler Henry and that convinced you. And if I'm telling you the same thing,
I want to feel it though. I want to have it in my bones. And I already do kind of. I just want to, there's other things you get from mushrooms too that are like, you get more okay with eight. You just get more okay with everything. Like they're just so healing. But there is that aspect where you could have a really bad trip and it's terrifying. Like Neil Brennan, after he did DMT, the like drug that, you know, comes out of your brain when you die. And you could, you know, he did that. And he said that you couldn't pay him $1 billion. That's what he said. And he's someone that's motivated my money for sure. He was like, I wouldn't do it again for $1 billion. It was the most horrifying. He was like, horrifying isn't even a fucking fraction of what I felt, but I will never suffer with depression again because I did it. He was like, I'm cured because I did this. But would I recommend it? God fucking no. It was the worst thing of my life. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, but I'm healed now. I'll never suffer with depression again.
Wait,
he said that there was this hat that he's worn his whole life and the hat came off. He couldn't describe what happened. He couldn't describe, he just said that I remember him saying that terrifying was a fraction of the feeling he felt. It was like nothing he could describe. He couldn't describe it. Much like what you're saying, like I can't grasp really what happened to you. But he said that he would not recommend it and that he wouldn't do it again for $1 billion.
I mean, so, I know people who've taken DMT and it changed them.
Yes.
Like they became
Neil.
A totally different person after that. And it was, not necessarily for the better, but like, I don't know, it changed them in a way that they became less motivated. They were a little slower. I know a few people who, like they did DMT and like all of a sudden they were like, they lacked the motivation to continue their path.
Well, because so much of motivation is I don't want to die. I got to make a legacy. I want money. I like things. I want validation. I want money that will get me validation and love. And so when you realize that none of that actually matters or whatever they maybe learned, some of that decreases and maybe they are happier not having as much motivation. You know,
I think
maybe.
They are. I think they are. Right. They are happier. They're more content with where they are. But then in reality, they don't have any money anymore. They don't have the willingness to go to jobs.
So would that be worth it to you, Nikki?
Yeah. But they're very happy.
No, I wouldn't. Like the Neil thing. Like, I don't want to, no matter what is on the other side of that, I don't want to give up. Anything that sounds scary, I will not do. Even if it means freedom on the other side of it. I'll do DMT when I die. Thank you very much. Like, it will be emitted naturally in that process. But that's not, I don't want to do it anytime sooner. But I think mushrooms and LSD, even those, I've heard have been described as terrifying. I think those are roller coasters that I'm willing to go on to because I don't. This is DMT specifically that you've seen people lose motivation, and I'm guessing you're talking about one case study as opposed to multiple, right, Brian?
A few. I actually have a few. I've talked to a few people who have experienced this. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's the one I won't touch after what Neil told me. But the other ones, I don't know. Maybe some besties have experiences with DMT that you can share. But this elephant documentary really lifted me out of it. And there's a part of me that wants to go.
Do they have to call them elephants? It's just such a harsh word.
I know. It's so rude. But these little baby elephants are so cute. And they are just so human. And they are just so sweet. And it was just sweet to see these like Indian people speaking this language that I do not know and would never know. And then the subtitle is, you're a good boy, aren't you? Are you the best boy? Are you the best boy? Aww. Like talking to the elephants the same way that we talk to our dogs. It was just so sweet. I screenshotted it, but it was like, you're the best little boy there ever was in this whole little village. Like they just talk to them sweetly. It's so freaking sweet.
So that's just more proof that we're all the same.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, there was some study that a psychologist did with like a tribe in New Guinea or somewhere very remote. And they were like, the stuff the women and the men were complaining about was like, when they had a translator figure out like, what is the thing that troubles you the most? And they were like, well, I think he has a crush on her and I feel left out. And it was like all the same petty shit, or not petty, but like the same shit that we all struggle with everywhere else in the Western world.
And he doesn't take out the trash enough and separate the recycling from the river that we drink from. He doesn't. That is interesting. Like we all do have like, even animals have jealousy, which I used to tell my parents because they'd be like, we got to give Luigi a treat if we gave Wiley one. I'm like, Wiley's 200 pounds. Luigi does not get the same treat. He's going to get fat. And they were like, well, he's jealous. And I'm like, animals don't have jealousy. And then every time I've eaten my words for 10 years now, or since I said that, every time the dogs like get jealous of each other, they go, and animals don't have jealousy, Nikki. And I'm like, okay, they do. I get it. I'm sorry. But they absolutely do.
Have you heard about the study about plants? Where the study about plants
yeah.
The one where they were testing whether or not plants could feel emotions and so they took like, I think it was like cabbage plants or something, and they would attach electrodes, I don't know the science, but they would attach electrodes to the plant to see whether or not it registered, and they would take a cabbage plant and they would cut up a cabbage plant in front of the other cabbage, and the living cabbage plant would respond
right
to the cabbage plant being chopped up in front of it. And they were able to connect it to a device that would take those electrodes and turn them into noises.
Oh no.
So then you would
hear the screaming cabbage.
Like, yes, you would hear it.
Oh God damn it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
isn't that manipulative?
This is always what people say to vegans, like, well, plants have feelings. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? Now I'm going to struggle to eat plants. You won. Like, it doesn't change the way I feel. It's still, now I'm going to eat plants and feel bad about it, but I have to fucking eat. So, yeah, that sucks to hear. But that's why you just don't hook your. You don't
hook your cabbage
up to a speaker. No. Yeah, you don't listen to your cabbage.
You know what they say? Never hook electrodes up to your fucking ficus plant.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, the positive takeaway is that if you have plants and you like talk to them,
they grow better.
They grow better. That's because of the oxygen, I think. But like they do, there's a world where your plants are listening to you and they can hear what you're saying and they react to your emotions. There's a world.
Fucking everything's listening to us. NSA, even up on the fucking plants. I do. The other day, I realized I hadn't fed my plants in a while, watered them, and I was like so sad. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I'm picking up like some of the dead leaves because it had been like, I can't anymore. And I was like, I am so sorry, plant. I just felt so bad. And I was like, oh no, I'm like anthropomorphizing, whatever that word is, where you like make a thing that doesn't have. Human emotions have it.
Wait, do Brian, your plant voice again?
No. I can't anymore.
That is a good impression.
It just sheds. Yeah. Oh, does it sound like the cabbage?
That happens to my plant.
Can't live anymore.
God, please don't do that to me. That's a cabbage. They're from like.
Oh, not my mom.
Yeah. Oh my God. Brian, you had a bachelor party this weekend? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, no, I went into the woods in a cabin.
Got
in the
a
woods.
Possum.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you and your possum crew.
No, I went.
Wait,
to,
you
I
went in the woods?
The woods? Yeah.
Did you invite Chris on this? But he couldn't go. I'm guessing.
Well, I had a West Coast bachelor party and an East Coast bachelor party, and this was the East Coast bachelor party.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't want to combine those two. That would have been trouble.
Well, I don't want people to have to feel like they have to mingle. I wanted to separate the friends groups so that everyone could be completely.
It's the opposite of how I rule my life. Why? Because your friends are socially awkward and they can't. Don't you think your friends would get along? Come on, man.
They would get along fine, but I wanted everybody to feel completely at ease and natural. I don't want one of my friend to be like, and I also don't want to be put in the position where I'm like in the middle facilitating conversations because like, oh, here's my friend Mike. Meet my friend Jim. You guys both like
How
sports.
About...
I get
we
don't. So
we
much.
Stop doing that. I hate when people go, you, Nikki, this is this person. And I'm like, I can do this myself. I guess some people need that, but I hate that. Because then I'm like, oh, now I'm being set up on a date and I don't want to talk to this person. I never did. I would have gradually, I just feel, and by the way, that's not your job. If people sign up to go to a party, they just, they know, but I get wanting to erase any kind of feelings of anxiety. So you kept them separate. So you, well, have you I had your like- West Coast one yet?
Yeah, I did. But
and when's
I,
the Midwest I, one?
The Midwest one is, yeah, it's going to be next month.
Okay.
And then we're going to do the Asian
Upper
one.
Peninsula? Yeah.
Yeah, the Upper Peninsula. Well, I feel like people do that thing that you're describing when they don't want to talk to the person that they're introducing
exactly.
you to.
Exactly. That is what yes. happens. They always, they pawn off someone on you and you go, I don't, and then
they
you have the
them
one.
Off on you and then you have to talk about, you know,
that
race
thing that
cars.
They gave you. The only piece of information they gave you. It's so annoying.
I like it because I'm like okay. very awkward socially. And my sister used to have these parties with like literary people and it was her job to be like the host. And she was, I'm like, how do you make small talk with 50 people a night? And she was just really good at being like, Anya, you might, you know, Anya's used to be an ice skater. And this one, like she would know these little factoids about people and like quickly set them up and then leave. And it was like, oh,
okay.
cool.
That's
we have
better
a neat
than
thing to talk about.
How most people do it. I will say I am good at finding commonalities and being like, you guys need to talk about this. And I will set you up for success. But some people just do it to get exactly what Brian is saying, so they don't have to talk to either of you.
Can you do it for me and Anya? Like, what if we were at a party and you came up to us and you're like, hey, meet Anya.
Okay, that's
a
good idea.
Do it in your plant voice.
Okay. I would say, you guys, I did a podcast with both of you. Brian, I did a podcast with when I had that Not Safe show. Anya, I've done podcasts with forever. Brian is getting married. You guys are both getting married soon in this summer. Brian just had his bachelor party where he introduced people or didn't have to introduce anyone because he kept it like separate. Anya's not having a bachelorette party. What do you guys think about that? Like what, or not that I know of, I haven't been invited yet if she is. And I would talk about like you're both getting or like Anya's a musician, Brian, you like music, like I don't know, like
I love the wedding thing, you could just leave it at that, but Anya, yeah. this is Brian, you guys have both worked with me and lived with me or whatever Brian hasn't, but you're both getting married soon, and then bye, and then I'd be like, oh my god, Brian, you're getting married, are you stressed out?
Does everyone want to know the best icebreaker for a conversation? If someone is married or has a girlfriend, or just ask how they met. It's a good, it's always a good story, even if it's online. And if it's online and they want to seem like they go, oh, on an app, which app? Who wrote first? Where'd you go on your first date? People love, if they're in a good relationship, they love talking about their relationship. And it's always a good story.
Oh my God. Can I tell you, you're going to love this. What? I was at I think it was an engagement party where there were, I would say pretty well-to-do people. Like one of the people getting married was well-to-do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
glad you said it twice. It didn't really hit the first time.
I heard that they, as his name
how many
was
seconds
Will
of money?
To do.
How many seconds of money do they have?
Probably
Will
like
to
a,
do.
Yeah. I was with Allie, my fiance, and someone was like, "How'd you guys meet?" And then we were like, "We always think it's cute to be like, yeah, we met on an app," and then people are always like. Oh my God, really? And then sometimes the other people we talk to have met on an app, and that's, you really connect there.
Yeah.
We said, they said, how did you meet? And we said, oh, we met on an app. And this person was like, oh, that's interesting. And then she like couldn't handle it. She was like judging us for having met on an app.
No, that saying you met online was embarrassing in 2003.
Right.
And before then.
We were so confused.
The only way people meet now. If you've met in person, that is when I go, ugh, what? You met a stranger out in the real world, like at the grocery store in line? Like, why are you talking to someone in line? Be on your phone and mind your business. Like, that is the weird thing now. So this woman couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and then we're like, then we have to continue the conversation with her when she clearly just outwardly judged us to our face. And we were like, yeah, we met on Hinge.
This woman's miserable.
And she was
How
like,
old
really?
Was she?
She was probably late 20s or early 30s. I think it was. I think it had to do with the fact that she was well-to-do.
Yeah, I forgot about the well-to-do part.
Yeah, that in her world, like that really is an embarrassment.
You didn't meet at your father's country club?
Yes, exactly.
You didn't meet at your local polo match? Yeah, you.
That or you is, weren't. It wasn't arranged for you by you know right. by two of your wealthy aunts.
Well, right. Okay. So when you say you met on Hinge, what is the story there? Like, because I do want to know. I'm kind of interested. We have 5 minutes till the end of this break. Let's get to it. So you okay. met on Hinge.
Yes.
Hinge is the one where it's like you have friends in common, but you can pretty much find someone in common with anyone that you have.
Horse so
that
shit.
Really?
I mean, after like 3 days, you no longer have enough friends to have anybody in common with who you're matching with.
Got it. Even with all of your friends on each of the coasts that you have, that you have to separate your parties?
Yeah, all 10 friends. No.
So what was your mutual friend with
We didn't
Ali?
Have a mutual friend. There was no so mutual friend.
So they just started giving you. What was it about her profile? Because Hinge has, you know, I think most of them do this now, but back in the day, Hinge, when I was on it, always had fun prompt questions. And then you yes. put up a picture. And you could just like each other's photo as opposed to like being like, I want to date you. I'm swiping right. You just like a photo.
Yes. And well, that this is why anyone who's creative excels on Hinge, because instead of just swiping, you have to comment on the photo. And so you have to come up with something remotely interesting to say in the comments in order to get matched back. You can't just swipe and then hope. And you can't just and if you comment on the photo like, hey, or what's up? That's not good enough.
No, no. And someone wrote to me recently because I said on the podcast that if you are on Bumble, girls just send an emoji. Never write like, hey, what's up? Don't write anything because Bumble girls have to reach out first. But just do an emoji because guys don't really like you to make the first move. They want just you to like look at them. So send an emoji. But this girl wrote to me and goes, the emoji thing has been working for me so much. So many conversations have popped off because I send an emoji. She was like, but they never ask me out. And that's the thing that I think on dating apps that a lot of people run into based on what I read on Reddit from dating advice is that people don't ask people out. And I used to do this too on dating apps. I would match with people and then I would just like not want to go out with them because I just wanted the validation that people liked me. I wasn't really wanting intimacy because or meeting up in person. Anya, you used to be on the apps. Like, did you ever struggle with men like not asking you out or not like setting a date or taking it from just conversating? To,
oh,
which
yeah.
I
remember like taking it to therapy and being like, am I doing something wrong? And my therapist is like, yeah, you're chatting for too long. Like 3 or 4 volleys is enough. Like if the person doesn't ask you out by then, or if you don't say like, do you want to get together? Which I never took her advice on that because she was wrong. She'd be like, just be done. You know, right. None of that. This isn't a chat app. You're not like here to make pen pal friends.
And that it could go on forever like that. And I do the same thing. You know, I would definitely like, just turned it into like, let's get to know each other. And then you have nothing to talk about on your date when you finally go on it because you've done all the cursory, like, what do you do? What do you like? Like, so how quickly did you ask Allie out? Because I'm guessing you asked her out.
Well, by then I was like an online dating expert and I had the swiftest
Brian
way.
Brian was so, so, I mean, Brian, there's so many layers to this guy, but Brian was like very adamant about finding a partner and like
oh
was
my
on.
God.
He had a system of his life that there were pillars in his life. And one of the pillars was finding like a wife, like finding a woman.
I treat everything like that. You know, like when I try to find a therapist, I go to like 5-6 therapists. There was a time when I had 5 therapists at the same time. And I was waiting to see which one would pop
off. Asked
you out
first.
Which one asked me out first?
It was just, you guys were just chatting at first.
We just kept chatting for an hour. We would chat for an hour.
So when you met Allie, I mean, this was at the end of like years of online dating and going on multiple dates a week kind of thing?
Yes, there was a year, the year of dating, I call it, where I went on dates with over 50 different women and multiple dates for many of them. So it was like, on average, it was like a few dates a week. And there was a time when I would go on multiple dates a night.
Oh my God.
Would you pay for all these or would you guys go Dutch or what?
It would be, I would always go on the date would always be drinks at a bar. And so if I paid for it would just be
that,
a drink.
Oh right?
Yeah. And also I don't drink. So I would go to these bars and be like, let's get drinks. And then I would pretend to drink the beer, right? That's what it's called, the beer. And one time I had a bartender, I got there early, I had a beer. And I said to the bartender, listen, I don't drink and this is a first date. Can you like help me get rid of this beer so it looks like I drank it? And so the bartender was like, yeah, man. And so I was on this date, and then the bartender, like, when the person wasn't looking, would take my beer and pour it out a little bit.
Oh, that my God. This is so funny.
Yeah.
Well, you're really bringing your authentic self to these dates, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I felt like they wouldn't want to continue
dating me. They would judge you.
Me.
Well, because guess what? You were dating girls in their 20s who, like, were not secure enough to probably go on dates and not get a little bit drunk, because that's what dating in your 20s is, right?
Yes.
But Allie, what did you guys do on your first date?
Good drink.
And what about what about her profile? Did you say any, do you remember it? Do you remember, or was it just one of another, like?
I remember seeing her on Hinge, and I was like, there's just no way she's going to respond to my message because she was so beautiful.
Aww.
I was like, there's no way. And then I made a comment. She was she had like a
she
pirate.
She is so beautiful.
She had a pirate costume on. She had a pirate costume on, and she was wearing an eye patch, and the eye patch was a little bit ajar. And all I said was...
Ajar.
It was ajar. And all I said was...
Askew?
It was askew. That's what I meant.
Okay, ajar was like a slightly open.
Yeah,
yeah, it probably was.
Yeah, it was slightly open, and it was askew. And I said, are you a pirate full-time, or is that your side hustle? That was my comment. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to be just like a little bit clever.
Well, yeah, you should have been, but
a little bit.
It was a nice try. I cannot believe. Okay, so she already probably liked you.
I got the inside scoop since then, because this is why you're setting me up against other comedians in terms of being interesting. Like, that comment is like a 10 out of 10 compared to the Gen Pop.
Oh my God, you're so right. You're so right. The Gen Pop is not capable of that, getting the word ajar wrong.
No, yeah, she would.
They don't even know that word, even much less even able to use it wrong, incorrectly. Okay.
That's right. And so she told me that, I was like, so what did most people say when on Hinge to you? And she said, well, most people would say, and I would hate this, is they would go, hey, your eye patch is on wrong.
Ugh.
That would be their first comment.
Kuh.
Yeah.
It's a nag.
It's kind of like a nag.
Yours again was like, are you a part-time pirate or
are you a pirate full-time, or is it your side hustle?
Okay.
Side hustle is cute.
Yeah, it's good. All right. And so that kicked it off. And then you asked her out right away. Because you knew that it couldn't get too chatty.
And the thing was, we lived, she lived in on the west side, and I lived on the east side. And in normal people terms, that's like separate bachelor parties. That's like living in a different state if you're in LA.
I mean, it's almost like, why would you even have your Hinge to go to those areas? Because this isn't going to work. Yeah.
And she had her radius set to like 50 miles by accident.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was like,
she could have dated someone in Zizix.
She could have dated she did date someone in Zizix. And so for like 1 week, she accidentally had it open, and I always had mine open as wide as possible. I was like, I'll drive anywhere.
Yeah.
And and we matched, and then she like disappeared for a little bit. And I was like, of course she disappeared. Like, she's not going to continue talking to me. And then one day she messaged me back after like 2 weeks and was like, oh, hey, she just wasn't checking the app. And then we went on a date at a bar.
This is a lesson to girls. Seem disinterested. Don't be too needy.
Well,
like,
no, I mean,
be cool. She wasn't even trying. She just was cool.
Yes, exactly. And your emoji comment is 100% correct. Like, just
don't
send
ask
an emoji.
Out the guy.
Don't do anything. Like, you don't have to do anything.
Guys will come after you.
Yes, yes.
They will. Well, last night, Anya discovered something on the show. She's watching The Bachelor. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear, if you haven't seen the latest episode, but it's down to him picking the final two. There were three girls left. They all went to the fantasy suite, which is where you could possibly have sex. It's kind of like in the air. Now, what happened exactly, Anya?
So he decides, the bachelor decides, I'm going to go into this week without sex being on the table. And he tells each woman this at the start of date.
But in the bed.
No,
it's not on tables. No sex on tables.
So with girl number one, he's like, just so you know, I want sex to be off the table this week. And then they cut to her in review and she's like, that was sort of a disappointment. I don't like being told what's not going to happen. And she's very sexual too. And she's like this beautiful Russian girl and they have tons of chemistry. She's like a knockout too. And she's like, we'll see about that. Like, we'll see, you know, anyway, they have a date and you find out afterwards they did not have sex. And so he moves on to girl number two. She's very shy.
Yeah, they hang the sheet outside after, and there was not a blood stain upon it. So Chris Harrison, he's not on the show anymore. That other guy that looks like all the Bachelors smelled really it and said they did not have sex. Okay. So they didn't
you
have sex.
Tell-
so-
When the Bachelor told that guy, Jesse, his plan, you could just see in Jesse's eyes, which are pretty blank anyway, he was just fighting this urge to be like, dude, no, bad idea. No. Yeah. And so he goes on date number two with this very like sort of mentally fragile girl. She has bad ADHD. She's very insecure. They have a lot of chemistry though, but she's like shy. And anyway, same thing. He tells her his intentions, no sex. She's the cut to her interview. She's like, I don't know about that. We'll see if I can convince him to otherwise. I kind of think sex is important or whatever. Then after their date, cut to them snuggling in the morning and you do the interview with her one-on-one. And she's like, we had a great cuddle fest and big smile. So you're like, did they? I think they did have sex. Mm-hmm. Then cut to the Bachelor and he's like, we had an amazing night, but I changed my mind and it became evident that like my rule was not going to fly. And we both decided as adults, we wanted to take this further. And we did. But now I'm in a quandary. I got to tell girl number three what I did.
Because and he had previously told girl number three, no sex, right?
He actually hadn't. He had only told each woman so far that he had seen.
Got it. Okay. So we
get to
Jesse, number three.
The host is like, why do, he's like, you don't really, you're going to tell him, like, you're going to tell her. And he goes, I have to be transparent with all the women. And Jesse's just like, okay. So he goes on date number three, which is in a fucking swamp in Thailand, like the worst setting. It's in a river, Jesus. But it's like a cold, dank river. And it's getting darker and darker by the second. And they're in this horrible canoe. Anyway, he tells her and she's not crazy. He goes, I wanted this to be a no sex week for everybody. And I kind of fucked up and slept with the last girl. She's horrified. And she's like, I know what this week is. I didn't need to know this. And now, like, this is the beginning of our date. Like, I can't be psyched. This is a bummer. Like, you didn't need to tell me this. This is between you and all the women, you know? And it's mm-hmm. just awkward and terrible. And it's just getting darker and darker.
Is he apologizing now? Or is this her saying this off camera? Of like, I didn't need to know this. Or is she saying that to him?
She's saying that to him. He's awkwardly like trying to hug her. She just does not want to be there. He feels kind of dumb, but he keeps trying to be like, I'm an honest person though. I would think that you would want this. Like I'm being transparent. She's like, no, I don't need to know all this, you know? And she's like, what did you expect me to just be like, oh, great. Like, let's have a fun date. Like I'm not happy. She just kept saying, I'm not happy and I can't.
This sounds like an Anya response. I feel like if any person that you could ever relate to, it would be this woman.
I liked her because I actually am afraid to say, or I have been in the past afraid to just say my feelings very simply. And she just kept being like, I'm just not happy. And she kept repeating. And I was like, that's pretty powerful to just own that.
Yeah.
Like, why would you be happy? Anyway, then she snaps out of it. After a few hours, they go on their date later that night. They get out of the swamp. They get cleaned up. They go to dinner. Somehow this woman's had a total 180. And she's like, you know what? I am so into you. I'm falling in love with you. Let bygones be bygones. Don't care. Let's have a fun night. She pulled a Nikki Glaser. I think Nikki would do that.
Of like, let me just reset. Power down and power back up. Like, let's get
practical.
The glitch. Okay.
You're like,
logical.
I know what show I'm on. Like, big deal.
Got it. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to remind you of me.
Yeah, okay. I was like, this girl's kind of practical. I've always thought this girl, Katie, was the best match for this boring guy, Jake, the Bachelor, whatever his name is. I forgot. Anyway, they have
been
a night.
This whole show, you don't even know his name. That's amazing. How boring this dude was. I felt the same
Ryan.
Way.
I
watched
Jake.
The first episode and I go, because I was like, I'm going to get back into The Bachelor. I couldn't care less about this guy. This guy was so boring. He didn't deserve all these women to be guffawing over him. He was just, he's kind of a dolt. But he's tall and hot, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's an FFP.
I just don't care.
He's a formerly fat person, so he's very he's very kind and emotionally mature, I think. But he's a little, I think he's passive aggressive. He's got some rage in there. But anyway, I'll wrap this up. So they have date number three together. It's unclear whether they've slept together until all three women are lined up the next day at the rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. At which point he, I'm going to spoil this completely now. He eliminates the...
No, wait. Oh, yeah. He okay. Sorry, no. He eliminates number one, right?
Yeah.
That he didn't sleep her. With.
Correct. She's very mature about their goodbye. It's kind of amazing. And, you know, she's like, it was incredible meeting you. Goodbye. They have a hug. Goodbye. He comes back. And then, but as he's saying, breaking up with the Russian girl, these two are together holding their roses. And Katie, girl number three, looks to girl number two, who has slept with the bachelor. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I knew, under her breath, she goes, I knew you'd be the only one. Meaning, I knew you'd be the only one he slept with. So now we know Katie did not sleep with him. And then they're standing there. But the girl who slept with him, I wish I could remember her name. She looks furious. She's pissed off. I forgot to mention, she told the producers on camera in her one-on-one interview. She's like, I feel completely blindsided because Jake came to tell her the next day, like, I'm going to tell all the women what we've done. And she's like, no. This was our thing. Like, this is private. And he's like, no, I think it's really important to be transparent with everybody.
So why was she blindsided if he told her that he was going to tell him?
Good question. I think they must have had an agreement during the sex or their little private night together. Like, let's just keep this between us.
Got it.
Yes. And she's like, now you show up at my house with all these cameras telling me like, hey, we fucked. Let's tell America. And mm-hmm. she's like, I wanted to be a little more subtle about it.
Although you did sign up to be on The Bachelor. So.
Right.
Let's.
But she also, she's like, I didn't know we were telling everybody.
You know? Yeah.
But the most interesting part is he comes back from the.
Can we leave this as a cliffhanger
yes.
and come back and tell everyone? Because this does end in a way that there is a reason I asked Anya to tell the story, because we're going to come back after this and find out why.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
about $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. So he comes back after letting the first girl go. The two remaining girls, one of whom just goes, I knew you'd be the only one, meaning the only one he slept with. So she knows this girl who slept with him is horrified that he has told this girl and that now her secret that she slept with the bachelor is out. And then what happens?
Then Jake is only making eye contact with Katie, the woman he has yet to sleep with.
Number three.
Girl number three. And he's just like, next week's going to be so great meeting your families. Just tunnel vision on Katie. Mm-hmm. Has completely forgotten about the other woman that he had this very special night with. Mm-hmm. And all we see is cutting back to the girl number two, who's furious, pissed off, and is staring at both of them like, all right, I'm just a third wheel here. He's already moved past her. He's over it. He's like focused on Katie. And it made me think of getting to
where
I do.
Who saw this coming? Now, why, Anya, you synthesized this pretty well last night. I was texting with you about it because you were filling me in. Why do you think he wasn't, and it's not just about that he slept with her and he's bored with someone he slept with already and he's already conquered it. What is it about a guy sleeping with someone who isn't their actual boyfriend that makes this, why do you think he liked her less?
I think he didn't earn her.
Exactly.
He didn't earn it, really. It was too easy to come by.
He was still dating three women when she said, fine, I'll give you the one thing that is supposed to be sacred. And I know some women are like, it's not sacred. I love sex. I want to give it. Men look at it as a sacred thing. They want to earn it. And as much as they beg for it and convince themselves that they want it whenever they can get it, they really want it when they've earned it. And they will only really stick around afterwards if they feel like they've earned it. And you're right. He didn't feel like he earned it because he didn't. He was dating three women still.
And I'm sure they did make an adult decision together. And
of course,
sure the moment was great. But the problem is it wasn't an exclusive relationship yet. And the problem is women, more than men, have this oxytocin thing that happens where even though we feel amazing in the moment and the sex was great and everything, if you break up with us after and choose someone else, it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. Like, it is hard to get over that because we're already bonded somewhat. We don't just shake it off. You know what I mean?
So do you think he's still into this number three girl because she's still like, he hasn't gotten everything that he wants from her yet? And he really has gotten, I mean, sex is kind of like, it's done with the.
I actually don't. And maybe that's a controversial point, but I actually think he's always liked her a little. I think they have a deeper connection and like a more lasting connection, and she's a little less of a wild card than girl number two. Girl number two has some like problems. Mm-hmm. You know,
so you're a little worried about her at the
yeah
end of this,
like
because you don't think
lot.
It's gonna go towards her.
She's great, but they just don't have the salt, like the
chances
solidity
she wins.
Of the other
chances she wins percentage wise the like, girl number two.
To me,
low percentage, 20%.
Right? 20%.
Okay. So it still could happen. Not likely.
Just my opinion, yeah.
Do you think if she didn't sleep with him that he would have been less like, do you think that was a factor? Do you really believe that? That of him being more focused on number three?
I think it's a factor, yeah. But yes. I think that ultimately the connection is better with the third girl. I just think that they shouldn't have had sex because the girl's going to be heartbroken when he doesn't pick her.
Yes, it's so much more than if she didn't. I read all the time in dating advice on Reddit of girls saying, I slept with this guy. We had been dating 5 weeks. I finally slept with him and I haven't heard from him. He went away for a week and he said he'd call me when he got back to town and I haven't heard from him since. And I slept with him the night before he left. Why haven't I? And it's always like, I want to just get in there and go read Getting to I Do, read Getting to I Do, read like, and it's the worst name for a book, but it just, sleeping with guys too soon before commitment is always a bad idea. It just is.
Also, the thing Jake said, if that is his name, was a red flag. He goes, it was very important to our relationship to make that decision. It was important to further our relationship. And I don't think that's the reason she had sex. Like, he thinks for them, it was really good for them. It got them farther along. But I don't think that's the reason she had sex.
I've had sex with guys because I think that it's going to get us farther along. And that's the next step. It's like, that's going to push our relationship. Once we've had sex, now he's going to almost feel more close to me.
But
it doesn't
work that way. He's like, to Jake, I think it means it's getting a step closer to where Katie and I are, girl number three.
Right.
You know, like they're
It'll
not
build
that
intimacy. And it
I
doesn't.
Don't think girl number two had any idea of that.
That he was trying to get his, yeah.
Girls have sex early on and it comes from like insecurity and they think that it'll move the relationship further ahead.
That's why I've done it.
Me too.
I've done it because I'm like, we only know our own experience, and I know that when I have sex, I feel much closer with someone. It does up my intimacy. It does that for me, but it does not work the same way with men. Brian, can you weigh in on this at all?
It removes the awkwardness that you have during the date of like, oh, am I going to kiss you, or how touchy-feely can we be? So like, if you have sex, then afterwards, that removes a lot of the awkwardness. But I will say I've never had like a one-night stand that I appreciated. You know, like the earlier, the worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you explain why?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first time you have sex with somebody, it's already horrible no matter what.
It's so awkward no matter what. Yeah.
I mean, no matter what.
And I don't think that it makes it better. So I've had sex with people and then I go on a date and we're like, we don't know when we can touch each other. I'm like, I was like, my mouth was inches from your asshole. Why are we like picking at our food and being so awkward? Like it doesn't necessarily make things that much easier. Alcohol does. But until that would enter my bloodstream, it was still awkward. You can't enter that state again, like right out of the gate. Tell me a little bit more about why you think sex too soon is not great.
I mean, I can't speak for all men because I don't feel like I'm a typical.
Just do.
Okay, well, I think guys. The truth is about bros.
Speak for the West Coast men.
Okay, yeah. Well, the
get
West
into that
Coast
mindset.
Men. The Bro. West Coast man is just flowing with it, and he's like, you know, whatever happens, happens, which I hate. the East Coast man is trying to conquer. So I think it depends on what coast the man's from. But I think, like, the earlier you do it, the more things that you can discover about the person that you don't like, honestly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how
like,
so?
You start
find
to
the
see things
you don't like.
One time, I during my year of dating, I slept with some woman early, and while we were undressing, she commented that my shoulders didn't have enough hair on them. She
so
said, "Do
you
discover
things about yourself?"
She's like, "Do you shave your shoulders?" And I was like, "No," but I did get famously with Tim Convey, I did get laser hair removal on my back and shoulders,
yes.
And so there's less hair on my shoulders. Then my arms, and she was like, that's hysterical. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want to date you if the first time we're doing this, you're body shaming me about my shoulder hair. Oh. Like, what is?
And you know what that is? That's just her feeling really insecure and needing to call out the thing. She's so worried you're going to do that to her. She's doing it to you before you can get to her.
Yeah.
I think that's what
very
that
mature.
Is.
And, then she dated some surf instructor. And I was like, there's no way he's got hair on his shoulders.
No, they're hairless.
They're hairless.
Dolphins. Yeah. Final thought. Okay, so wait, can we get to some Fanthraxes? Is that what we have today?
Yeah, I do have some. You want to listen?
Okay, let's do some Fanthrax. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that really got me today for some reason. Okay, let's hear what some besties have to say.
Okay, let's start off with a voicemail from Hadley.
Hello, I'm listening to the most recent episode where you talked about the Reddit post of the people finding the crematory smoke in the daytime. Yeah. And it just made me think of my hometown. We had a funeral home that was across the street from a local high school, and the weights room was right across the street, and they would open the window to work out, and they would have to shut it in the morning because specifically in the morning, they would burn the bodies and the smoke would come out and it was really pungent and smelly. And so they would have to keep the window closed. That's been like a thing forever. The juicier part about the story is that the funeral home was recently shut down and condemned because the owner was mishandling the bodies.
Oh, God.
There was a complaint of a smell like a block away. They did an investigation. They found several like rotting bodies. It's really disgusting and disrespectful and hard to talk about. But fetuses that had no connection to anyone. And
what?
They have also suspected necrophilia, and he's going to trial and probably going to jail. So you should look that up because it's a really interesting case.
What city?
Also makes me think about a Twitter thread I saw today of morticians talking about how they don't like to hire men because they get caught fucking the bodies. So we're never safe. Okay, cool. Cool note to end on. Bye.
No, thank you, Hadley. This is not surprising. Again, male gynecologists, like, get men out of... Men are, by and large, more sexually erratic and motivated to do weird stuff. So if you want to have things not get fucked, don't hire men. No offense. Like, just
I would
be
never fuck a dead body.
Of course you wouldn't. Most men wouldn't. Never. But like, there are fewer women would be motivated to fuck a dead corpse than... I mean, I used to have a boyfriend that, you know, in college stuck his dick in like a peanut butter jar, like just to see what it was like. Men do weird stuff. They're motivated. Their hormones are going crazy. And that's really disturbing. I have to maintain, though, that I wouldn't mind if someone tried to fuck me when I was dead. I would be almost I don't think it's a respectful thing. I'm horrified by that that message. But if you are a mortician out there, crematorer, and you come across my body, you can fuck it. If I'm dead, I don't care.
I don't
I'm
think
dead.
Your parents would sign off on that.
Well, they don't get to. I'm in charge of my dead body. I get to say this is in my living will and my dead one. I don't care if you try to fuck me because I'm dead. But I still don't think it's right to do.
Does it matter what age you are when you die?
That's an interesting one, Noah. Wow. Okay. You are like, this is almost dealing with the thing of pedophilia where they're like, well, if they make dummies of kids, like, is it okay
I'm saying from this age and beyond.
No, if someone wants to fuck my old body when I'm like 90 and die, like, also fine. They can fuck it at any time because I'm dead again. If it's before the open casket, I'd ask you to have a little respect for my head. Like, let's like keep my head looking okay and not with like cum all over it. Like, don't really fuck it up. But the rest of my body, go at it. Don't care. Have fun.
He would wipe it off. Best life. I mean, he wouldn't just let you go out there covered. He would wipe it off.
No, but I feel like it would like dent my, like it would just like mush my skin. Like, my face already is dead. Like, I don't need like them like humping my face. Like, it would just don't do it to my face.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If this is the least I can ask for. And I have teeth still, I'm guessing, when I die. But that was a fascinating story. And it would be so weird to be working out and then all of a sudden your grandpa's ashes like fly in the room as you're like heaving and hoeing as you're trying to like do a lat pull or whatever.
Were you guys curious at all when she said, I forgot the word, not fetuses? Putrid, but like
pungent?
About pungent. Like, oh, I wonder God. What it smells like.
It smells like corpses.
Oh, really?
Okay. Pungent. It makes me think of like tangy and like rotting. Pungent.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pungent stench.
I mean, that's what they always say. People that have smelled a dead body, which I've never smelled a dead human body to my knowledge, but people that have smelled it say it's the most unforgettable, awful scent ever. Have you guys ever smelled a dead body?
Yes.
I lived a bird or a mouse.
Yeah, you have?
I didn't smell
a dead human.
I lived in a house where a neighbor passed away, and we found out because of the smell.
Oh,
so like
sometimes you die and you have no one, and then you just sit there in your living room
until someone smells it.
Until someone smells it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the subway coming home from a Guns N' Roses concert. It wasn't really Guns N' Roses. It was just like them like reuniting in like this new band. And there was a homeless man on the subway. And it's like a like this like sour chemical smell. The whole train smelled it.
If you never forget can you still smell it now?
Yes.
Like if you that's what they describe it as. Yeah. I'm so grateful I have never smelled it again. Well, I hope you smell it soon for that guy who kills possums. Fuck that guy.
Oh my God.
Who tortures possums. I hope that guy that smell emits from his house soon. I hope someone traps him and lets him just fucking die in a cage. Holy shit. I hate that asshole so much. Literally, I hope he dies. Okay, next Fanthrax.
Okay, let's hear this one.
I hate him. Sorry.
Hi, Nikki, Noah, and Anya. I was just listening to the episode where Nikki, you were talking about how you used to go into chat rooms in like the late 90s and talk to those wolf people and kind of make fun of them.
Bully them.
But it made me think about how when I was like 14 with my best friend, Sarah Jones, we would go into those chat rooms and we were talking to this guy and his name was Ryan Sarge. And we used to like send him pictures and we would pretend like it was our pussies, but it was like our lips from our face and we'd hold our hair in front of our lips and then scan it on my dad's scanner in his office. And then we'd send him those and pretend it was our pussy. And he was like, you would need to shave. And so we just stopped talking to him.
Anyway, God, Ryan
Sarge. That's what we would do in chat rooms. Love you. Juicy pussy.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I can just see these little girls like slamming their faces into a scanner, like their dad's scanner, lifting up that screen and like it clanking on their head as they just like smush their faces. That's so
I have
smart.
One at home. Now I know what I'm doing with my afternoon.
Yeah, my God. That is so funny. Did you ever go in chat rooms, Brian? You're of the age. How old are you again? 37?
35. And I okay. have
tell your face.
I have
like 2 years, but it makes a difference.
You know, I did so actually I got Botox yesterday for my jaw.
What? Really?
Yeah, I got
but you
Botox.
Have a beard.
I got That's Botox. Already... It's not for wrinkles, it's because I have excruciating pain in my jaw.
Oh,
and they injected me with Botox.
Anxiety about dying.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I clench my teeth at night thinking about all the horror of not existing. Yeah. I constantly
because you sometimes wake up screaming.
You do not want to sleep in the same bed.
You're
with
like
me.
The song "Anti-Hero." I wake up screaming from dreaming one day I'll watch as I'm leaving.
Yes.
That is so funny. Okay, so you got Botox in your jaw. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, and
it feels so much better.
Well, you know, I think it takes a few days to like kick in, but I have to say the first day, this is the first morning and I do feel a little better.
Yes.
I feel a little better.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I just got Botox in my forehead because I
your forehead is clenching?
Yeah, I've been stressed
she
about aging.
Screaming at her at aging.
that I've slept on my pillow the wrong way. Oh my God.
It is exactly like that.
That's exciting. Okay, so let's listen to the... Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about chat rooms, but we'll talk about that another time. Let's go to another Fanthrax.
Okay. Do you want sad advice or, like, regular advice?
Sad advice. Because I feel bad not saying sad advice. Like, that would encourage people to not tell me sad things.
All right.
And I want to be... Yeah, let's do sad.
Hello, Nikki, Noah, and probably Anya. Sorry in advance, my question's a bit of a sad one. I just wanted to poll the group on a money-ish question since that's kind of been one of the topics as of late when just thinking about how when Anya brought up yearly earnings versus what you would spend on a hotel room, for example.
Yeah.
My dog was diagnosed with cancer this week. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around what's an appropriate number? What is something that makes sense for a 7-year-old dog? He just seems so young. You know, we all expect to have a lot more time. That's not always the case. I'll say it again. He's 7 years old. He's a bull mastiff cross. He's about 135 pounds. He's got human eyes. I just want to hear what you ladies would do if you were in my shoes. I'm in Canada, so chemo costs are a little bit higher down here for us. Anyways, hoping Sorry, he just snored. Hoping you guys can make this a little light and give some advice for me and anyone else who's been in my situation, what you think we should do. Jacked up vet bill.
Jacked up pet bill. Man.
I'm so sorry.
Next one. I'm just kidding. this next question. No, this sucks. I'm so, so sorry. What is her name again?
It's anonymous.
Okay. I'm so sorry about your dog of 7 years. It's fucking terrible. My sister's dog just had to be put down last week because of probably cancer issues, like just tumors and just too much complications. Also, like 100-something pound dog. 12 years old, though. So a little bit more life behind it to justify, like, okay, maybe it's time for it to go. So I can't, you know, I wish I would have known, like, how much you, like, you shouldn't go homeless saving your dog, I don't think, right? Like, we have to, that's, I would financially, but then there's always, like, GoFundMes, and you're like, well, yeah, maybe I could get people to donate enough and do something, like, try every avenue. I would measure how horrible it would be for your dog to go through this and what the outcome, how much life and what kind of, what the quality of life would be for your dog. The nice thing about having animals, and I have to say that this, even though this is a sad thing, you can euthanize them, unless, unlike humans, where you just have to wait for them to choke on their own vomit and die, or like just die of old age. Like, you can put them out of their misery and give them like a nice send off surrounded by like love, and they kind of just go to sleep, and it's painless and it's humane. And that is like a cool thing that we get to do for our pets. So it's not, as much as it is like a horrible thing, like, and that it is kind of your choice, and it feels like, oh, I'm choosing to kill my dog. Like, you're choosing to not have it suffer, is my thought. Like, a lot of people think that because I'm vegan, I never want dogs to, like, be put down, or, like, cats and stuff. And I'm actually a big advocate for putting animals down when they're suffering or when they have to spend their lives in a small cage. I think they should – I think in a lot of ways it'd be better to just put them down, because it's just the worst life to be lonely in a cage. So I just would weigh the suffering, and in terms of – money, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts?
I think that definitely how much money she makes factors in, but I will say this, there is an option between putting the dog down and chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and that is just letting nature take its course. I was visiting a farm one time, and they had this dog who had cancer for like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. and there was a tumor growing on its back that was literally the size of like a couch cushion. It was like we'd see this thing and be like, did you need to do something about that? And the farmer was like, just letting it go. And yeah, the dog was perfectly happy. It had a tumor, right, the size of a couch cushion, but it was running around, it was eating its food, it was still, you know, and like that was like four
kids
or five
were sitting
years
on it and
riding it to school.
Maids were fluffing it, but
yeah,
yeah. And people were finding coins underneath it.
I'm with Brian. My friend just went through this with her dog, and you know, they did what they could. And this is a very wealthy friend, yeah, but ultimately, the dog just basically, you know, was living with cancer for a few years, and they gave it a good send off and had the vet come to the house and euthanize it.
That was $15,000 to have that private.
No, it's not that much. It's not that much. But I would also, yeah, like Nikki said, like, what, how much is this chemotherapy? How much is this in relation to what you make? Do not feel badly if you have to make the choice to euthanize the dog, but also talk to the vet.
2 months salary. Oh, wait, that's a wedding ring.
talk to the vet about how the dog's life would be if it could just live with this for,
yeah,
you know,
Yeah, there's no guarantee. Just because you're diagnosed with cancer does not mean you're going to die in, you know, 2 months.
I know.
That dog could live
for
5 years. For
some reason, when I remember not that long ago, like I just started, my world opened up maybe on Instagram or something to people who just live with cancer. And they're just like, I have cancer for 20 years now. I'm like, wait, what? Like you can, I mean, I don't know anything about cancer, so I should just shut the fuck up. But yeah, I think that's an interesting option of just like letting nature take its course until life is so miserable for your dog, and then doing what's necessary to like ease its pain and send it off to the next realm that it will experience. If, or you can get your dog to do DMT now and you guys can do it together and you can both accept that it's you'll be together in some other realm. Noah, as someone who had a dog that died of cancer, right?
Cancer, yeah.
Yeah.
Prostate
what are
cancer.
Your thoughts?
So I think I'm like in between Brian and Anya. Definitely talk to the vet, see what the dog's quality of life is, and also what your quality of life will be. Like, for example, with my dog Bruno, the tumor grew in a way where I would have to get him over to the hospital and they'd put a catheter to empty his bladder. So that was not like a thing I was going to do to keep my dog alive for another 5 years. Also, I want to say that I was very lucky because the doctor that in the emergency hospital, Virg in Brooklyn, he runs a pet rescue charity for people who can't afford medical expenses or rescuing animals that don't have homes and stuff like that, and providing them with medical treatment. And when I would drive my dog Bruno like an hour and a half out of the city just to save money on the vet than have like being in New York City. And when I was like, oh, you know, can I just like wait one more day before you put the catheter in and take him to his regular vet? So I think he knew that I was concerned about the bills. So he was just like, don't worry about it. And he like entered me as a candidate into this pet rescue mission thing, like totally unbeknownst to me, because he knew what was going to happen and he didn't want that stress on me. It was like very, very kind. Yeah. And then in return, I started a GoFundMe for Bruno, and I paid the money back for someone else to have the same experience that I had. So there are organizations out there that you can reach out to, and they're very like sympathetic and kind, and you know, just like weigh it all together. But also I think a very important thing is to take into consideration the costs of euthanizing your dog, which is a very hard thing to look at, and also what you're going to do with the body and how much that costs.
Oh, right. Oof.
I mean,
is it a lot? And it's 130 pound
can
dog.
You have someone fuck your dog?
For a discount?
Yeah, for a discount.
That should be an option. Nikki. That should be an option. You should be able to check that off before you die for a discount.
Oh,
will you let the mortician, you know,
honestly,
slam you?
Wait a second. That sucks that it's so expensive. So is it free if you're like, just throw him in the dumpster? Is it free?
Well, I buried Bruno in someone's backyard. So that was free for me.
Okay, so that was free. Yes. Okay, that's good. Was that hard to dig?
Oh my God. Well, yes.
Digging into the ground is so hard. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer, there's multiple stories of him trying to exhume bodies to fuck them. And he would always get tired because he's like, it's so much deeper than you think. And the ground is so cold and wet and hard. And that's always what I remember. It's like digging a grave is a lot harder than people think it is. Most people give up. And that's why bodies are found after like a light flooding, is because people don't dig them deep enough. That's why it's like it has to be 6 feet. But, you know, it's hard to get down that far.
Did you ever hear that Norm Macdonald bit about what he would do? It's on his last album, where he's like, I would go into the woods and I would dig a very, very, very deep grave. Did you ever hear that bit?
No. What is it?
Well, that's the bit. I mean, I can't do it justice. Okay. So, but like, when Norm Macdonald says it, it's funny. But well, yeah,
I have to say that there was a friend of mine who had a problem with their animal, and they were like, what do I do? Like, I have this animal that is like bites everyone, and it's like causing my life so much turmoil. Do I like take a risk and fly out to go get it and think it's not going to bite my life and fuck it up? And I was like, you should just put it down. Like,
keep suggesting people put down their animals this week. And I swear to God, I fucking love animals, but like, why am I the only one who ever thinks that it's a good idea to just like put things? But I'm also, you know, slightly suicidal and have those ideations where I'm like, I think death is a sweet put release. So I'm always kind of like, I think that's the better option. So I don't want people to misconstrue me telling this girl to put her dog down as like, I'm being heartless and like careless. I'm actually just coming at it from a perspective of someone who like, I hope someone puts me down. Like, I hope there's the option for euthanization when I get to the point where I'm in so much pain instead of just waiting for it to, because people are too scared to like see me die. They just have to watch me die from natural causes. So that was my point there. But it is hilarious to me that this week on the girls' chat, I gave advice for someone to put down their cat and no one co-signed on it. Everyone was like, I think there's a different perspective here. And I was the first to be like, oh, me, put your cat down. I was like, I'll go with you to do it. Not because I'm like excited for this cat to die, but I'm just like, I just don't see another option. I just don't. But obviously there's many other options. So thank you for your sad Fanthrax. It didn't turn out to be very funny because we were able to make some jokes, but I am really, really sorry for what you're going through. And it makes me just, yeah, animal suffering is just too much to comprehend and you got to make jokes. So thank you for the disturbing dark Fanthraxes today, guys. Good job. Keep them coming. We will get to them at some point. I am on tour again this weekend. If you are in Spokane, Washington, or Eugene, Oregon, in those areas, I will be there this weekend. And then the weekend after that, I think I'm in Palm Springs on a girls' trip. And then the weekend after that, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. Are there any other dates that I can plug, Anya, that you know of?
It's not till April 14th in Bethlehem, PA, and then April 15th in Hampton, New Hampshire.
Yes. And then Tucson, and Arizona.
And then April Tucson, 27th. Arizona, April 27th. I'm going to see Taylor Swift on April 2nd. That's a big deal. Yes. Watch the Kennedy Center Awards this Sunday for the Mark Twain Prize for Adam Sandler. That'll be on CNN on Sunday night. Watch the iHeart Music Radio Awards on Monday night. I will be a special presenter on those awards. So I think that's on Fox. You can watch that.
Exciting.
And Brian, do you have a podcast right now that we can promote?
No, I don't have a podcast.
Okay, well, just follow Brian Frangi on Instagram, Brian Frangi. Support Anya Marina as always. Come see me on tour. And don't be cool and just put your dog down. Easy answer.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.